interesting how God sort of brings things in. You think, oh, I was going to mention that. Fair enough. That's great. I don't think any of you would contradict me if I said that we probably live in the maddest, craziest world that most of us have known for a very long time.
Yeah.
Would that be true?
Sure.
Right, we've got this stupid war going on in the Ukraine. We've got all these things going on, you know, energy prices, economies, everyone's on strike, doody-doody-doo. And so I've been thinking for quite a long time, what is the response of the church to the world that we are currently living in now? And that's like the backdrop of what I want to talk about. It's not high-powered theology, you'll be very glad to know. But that's the sort of backdrop. I was thinking, well, how does the church respond to this crazy world out there? And I've got two thoughts that have been going round and round in my head, sort of coalesced to produce what I want to talk to you about this morning. One of the thoughts is very spiritual, just to prove I'm, good bloke. And the other one's not the slightest bit spiritual, which brings my average down a little bit. But there you go. I just want to say just briefly a little bit about how we can respond to the world and the people in the world in these days that we're in. So I'm going to tell you what the two things are, but I will pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us. Lord, speak to us now. Not what I want to say, but what you want to say through me. That we will hear. And that we will take on board those things we need to take on board. And that you will give us the courage and the ability and the strength to do whatever you're calling us to do. Because we know, Lord, that you're perfect and that you love us. And that blessing is your essential nature. And that you will bless us through what we hear this morning. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the first idea, let's do the spiritual one first. I haven't been able to get these verses of scripture out of my head for a bit. So if we can have them up on the screen, please. Here we are. Mark 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth so shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now these verses are usually called the Great Commission. Right? And in the history of the church, these verses have been the sort of instrument that started great missionary activities, lots of people going to dark Africa to preach to the tribes who live in the middle of nowhere, people going to the Antarctic to try and convert the polar bears, you know, that sort of thing. But just one. There are two things I want to say about this verse or these verses. Firstly, and it's an extremely simple one, and it's confirmed by what Sue was actually talking about this morning. Clevedon is part of all the world. Portishead is part of all the world. Nailsea is part of all the world. The office where you work is part of all the world. The church, the school gates where you stand and talk to parents are part of all the world. So people, this means us. This means us. And the more important bit for today's talk is the second half of this, where it talks about all the things that will accompany, all the signs that will accompany people who have gone to all the world to preach the gospel. And it talks about picking up serpents and laying on of hands and people getting better and speaking in other tongues and, you know, if you drink poison, it's not going to harm you and all of that. So that's good. But what does that mean? Or how is that seen? And the answer is that those who have gone to their part of all of the world and are thus doing or seeing some of these things are different from the world that they are in. And that, if you like, is the sort of theme of this morning, that the children of God should be different. The children of God should be different. And we have a world out there which needs something different, right? So that's the general thing that I want to talk about. The second idea that I had, that sort of coalesced, the unspiritual one, is back before Christmas, I was reading in the newspaper the sort of arts column, and the guy who does the reviews of rock and pop was recommending this new band that I'd never heard of. And I thought, well, that sounds all right. So I went on to Spotify and I learned to hear some of their songs, and I quite like it, sort of funk type stuff. And most of it's instrumental, but there are one or two songs. And there's one song in particular which I go around the house singing, and I can only remember the words of the chorus, drives Alison up the wall. Because it's the only bit of the song I can remember. But it's a good song, and the words are, if we want to change the world, we have to change ourselves first. If we want to change the world, we have to change ourselves first. Now, I don't think there's much doubt from the Great Commission that we're supposed to change the world, right? We all agree that one?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad I'm talking to the right people. So my question this morning is, how do we need to change so that we can become the more different people of God in this world? The world needs the children of God to be different, to show the path. Yes? So I'm just going to talk a little bit about how we can change so that we are more different, if you like. And you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, this sounds like a long talk. A little bit of shame, we'll just put the oven on at home. But, you know, God gave me two things to talk to you about this morning. And I should be fairly brief because it's relatively straightforward. That we need to do in order to change ourselves so that we become more different, the children of God become more different from the world. One is a thing we've got to put down, one is a thing we've got to pick up, right? The thing we have to put down, people, is fear. We've had quite a lot of things in the services over the last two or three weeks. Fear has popped up. It could be God's trying to tell us something. You never know, do you? But we need to lose fear. Now, hear me right what I'm talking about here. If you're going for a walk along by the sea, and you're on the top of the cliff, and you're going along, and you look down, and it's an awful long way down. And you become fearful, and you decide you shouldn't walk right by the edge of the cliff, but you move further inland a bit. That's fine. That's a human emotion, which is actually doing you good. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. That's not the fear we've got to lose. The fear we have to lose is the spirit of fear, which will attach itself to situations, events, people, things that we have to face in the ordinary course of life. Think of it as butterflies in the stomach, fear. Right? And the problem with fear is it debilitating. Stops you doing things, or stops you doing things right. And that is a problem. The Lord gave me what you might describe as a catchphrase. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, just remember this. And then if you need to, do something about it. Fear stops you being you. Yeah? Fear stops you being you. And God wants us to be us. That's why every one of us is different. We're all made in His image, but we're all different. Every single person here is different. I can do things you can't do. You can do things I can't do. I can think of things you can't think of. You can think of things I can't think of. And so on and so on. Ad infinitum. We are all different, but we need to be the people that God created us to be. And fear can stop that. Right? With me?
Yeah.
So let's turn to a very well-known verse on this particular topic, if we can, please. Oh, it's there. Fantastic service at the back there, I must say. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the King James Version, but I actually asked for this because I like the bit about the sound mind. I'll come on to that in a minute. So, first point is, fear does not come from God. The spirit of fear does not come from God. It's nothing to do with Him. Right? So, but what we do have is the Holy Spirit flowing through us, which is a spirit of power, which means that if we are not if we are not set back by the spirit of fear and we have the Holy Spirit flowing through us, the spirit of power means we can change situations. If we're not set back by the fear, the spirit of love means we can change people. And that happens because we have a sound mind. We have the mind that we were created to have, to be the people that we were created to be. Yes? So that's what we need, the spirit of power to change situations, love to change people, based on us being who God created us to be. Yeah? And that's quite important, but you're thinking to yourself, well, it's all very well Peter standing out there and waffling on, but if I am fearful about something, and we all are, you know, we all have been, we all are from time to time to time, what do I do about it? Okay, well, the answer is various things that you would have guessed I was going to say anyway. First thing, pray. Second thing, read the verses about fear in the Bible so you know what God is saying about how fear is nothing to do with what He wants for you to have and be. Right? Third thing is, share it with a small number of people and get them to pray with you to support you. That's why we're all here together, folks. Some things are much easier fixed by sharing them. So don't ignore that. There's just, if fear is an issue, do something. Talk to people. Pray. One of the things, this is, over the years, one of the things I've sort of taught myself, sounds a bit grand, to do with this, if I really feel that, you know, the sort of butterflies in the stomach type fear, I actually rebuke the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. And I say it out loud, so I hear myself say it. Alright? And you don't have to shout it so the whole of Cleveland hears it. But you need to say it loud enough so you hear it. So you know what you're saying. You know what you're declaring. And I find that helps. Okay? So that's the thing we need to lose if we're going to become more different. What we need to gain, the thing we need to pick up more and more and more, is in everything to rely on God. Now, I'll tell you what brought this thinking about. Ever since the lockdown and COVID and then, you know, all the things that we've got going on now, the economy, energy crisis, there's been a huge increase on the internet, especially on Facebook and da-di-da-di-da, of groups saying, let's deal with this together. How you deal with energy, how you deal with reducing energy in your house, how you deal with this, how you deal with that. Now, hear me right, I'm not anti any of these things. But they will only go so far. And what we actually need is for the children of God to be able to demonstrate that by relying on God, rather than trying to sort it out ourselves, we can actually see things change. Yes? And the best verse in the Bible for all of that is in Proverbs. There you are. It does exactly what it says on the tin. You know, it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So don't think you can sort it all out. It doesn't mean you shouldn't think. It just means you shouldn't think that you're the only answer. In all your ways acknowledge him, God, and he will direct your paths. In one of the versions it says your paths will be straight. Now, I think if you look in the world out there, there's a lot of people going around in circles. Or, getting from here to there via So I think straight paths is quite a good thing, it's quite a good concept of how God wants to make things work. In all your ways acknowledge God. Yeah. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So in this case, fear doesn't mean the fear I was talking about before. It means be in awe of God, of his power and of his greatness. So by trusting God, by relying on God for the things that we all have to face, it doesn't mean the things will disappear. It doesn't mean we're any better than anybody else. It doesn't mean we're the the smart Alex in town. It just means that we're taking God at his word. Yeah? Taking God at his word, we need to rely on him to change things, to make things different, so that people see that in our lives we are moving ahead. Things are getting better, things are improving. Problems get solved. Now, I'm not saying this is instantaneous, don't get me wrong, there's always a struggle and there's always a thing, but it must be part of where we are. We must get from A to B. And if God has promised us a straight path, then let's ask him for us to walk along that straight path, and he'll help us get over the bumps and the things along the way, and people will see it. This is the most important thing. It's not because we're brilliant, it's not because we're clever, it's not because we're better. But if God's activities with his people are not actually seen, then why do we bother? How are we showing God to the world? Crazy word out there that really needs God out there at the moment. How are we showing if things don't change? But God, things will change if we depend on him rather than trying to sort it out ourselves. And this is a very general sort of statement, and how you work this out in your own lives is probably quite long and quite complicated, and you'll be very glad I'm not going to try and do that now. But it's a thing we need to do. The last verse I want to quote you is Romans, yes, and we know this one. Well, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, excuse me, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. It's not rocket science, but it's very important. So we have to just seek God. Seek God. So that day by day by day, we are saying, God, we need to rely on you to help us with this, because we're not going to be able to sort it. But you can sort it, because we know that you're loving and caring and infinitely powerful. So we just need to be, folks, those who lives are not driven by fear, but those who see that we can't sort it ourselves, but we know someone who can. Right? So that's really all I want to say. And that way, going back to the Great Commission at the beginning, where we actually started, the bit of all the world that we interact in one by one by one by one will be a place where people see that the children of God are different, and will understand why they are different, and going back to the Great Commission yet again, they'll want to become children of God themselves. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bless you. We thank you that, Lord, you know us so well, each one of us here. You made us the way that we are. You made us to be us, to be who we are, to do what we can do. And Lord, as we walk through life in these crazy days, we just pray that you will help us to be a demonstration of your love and of the power that flows through the children of God, not because we're better, but because we know Jesus. And I just ask, Lord, that each of us in every situation, big and small, that we come across in every everyday life, we will know your wisdom, we will see your power at work, and that we will be able to show clearly the power of God, the love of God, and the blessing of God to those who are around us. Lord, that your kingdom will come. Your will be done. Amen.